Many people today are functioning in spiritual darkness because they won't let Jesus be the light.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the dangers of unenlightened thinking.
You can never fully live life like it was meant to be lived without Christ.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. It can be dangerous walking around in the dark because of all the hazards that wouldn't be hazards if you could only see where you were going. Dr. Evans says the same is true spiritually, and today he'll tell us how to put some heavenly light on the subject. Let's join him.
One of the biggest hoaxes perpetrated in our day, in our era, and progressively over the last couple of centuries is the hoax of evolution. Evolution is a religious hoax because it is based on a faulty belief system. Your belief system about the origin of things, of creation, and of life becomes a religion because it becomes a belief. And that belief generates a myriad of other things that inform life and choices and decisions and values. Evolution is not merely about how things got started, although it is that, but it's about the implications of that worldview. The theory of evolution is really the evolution of a theory. It is an attempt to have a belief system and to hunt down some science that will support it. It is a system that says nothing plus nothing has produced everything. Now you may say, well, what does that have to do with the names of God? I mean, we're talking about really the names of Jesus. How does this evolution issue fit into that? It actually does. Today we want to look at the name of Jesus who's called the Word. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, it says of Jesus, his name shall be called the Word of God. So one of the names of Jesus in the Bible is when he is given the synonym name of the Word of God. That concept of Jesus being the Word is given to us in more detail in the first chapter of the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Greek word for the word Word is logos. Logos. That is a very important word tied to my introduction. You see, that was a very powerful word in the day that Jesus was living. Because the Greeks would use the word logos, which means word, to define the impersonal force behind the universe. When the Greeks talked about the logos, they would say that there is this creative force that gives rise to the universe, that gives rise to all knowledge, that gives rise to all wisdom, and that this force is so powerful, called the Logos, that to understand the world, you have to understand the impersonal nature of creation, which is summed up in the word Logos. So when John writes his epistle, he takes the word logos and infuses it with another meaning. He takes a word that they already knew, that was already understood to be this powerful force that was behind everything in creation, and he injects it with truth. And when he does, he repeats the logos a number of times in this passage. Number one, the Word was in the beginning. Whatever the Word is, it was at the start of things. Not only was it in the beginning, but it was in the beginning as a was, not as an is. So the word preceded the beginning. So whatever the word is preceded when things got created. So that is the preexistence of the word. The second thing we're told is that the word was with God. The word not only preexisted, it coexisted. That the word with means face to face. So whatever this word is, it was in high communication with God. It was face to face with God. They looked into each other's eyes, so to speak. They stared at each other. So the word was prior to the beginning. The word was in communion, coexisting with God back in the beginning and prior to it. And then we're told that the word was God. So whatever the word is, it was pre-existent, coexistent, and self-existent. Because God is the only person who does not need anything out of himself to be himself. Nothing else in creation can be what it is without depending on something else. And so he says the word is self-existent, that is self-contained. So the word was in the beginning and prior to it, pre-existent, coexistent, it was with God, and it was at the very same time God. Now, when we talk about a word, we're talking about communication. Right now, I am speaking a word. That is, I am communicating with you. I am saying things to you. So the word is the communication of God that is at the same time God. Which shouldn't surprise us then in Psalm 138, verse 2, where God says that he raises his word above his name. So whenever we talk about the word, we're talking about his person, not only the communication that comes out of his lips. So when we talk about word, we're not just talking about the spoken content, although it includes that. We're talking about the very nature of the speaker. So that God's word is equal to God's person, since the word was God. So the word, the communication of God, is in fact God. So whenever God says something, you can't disconnect it from the God who said it. His person is intricately tied to his communication. There is never a disconnect between what he says and who he is. Now, that's not true of us. Because a lot of time we talk smack. A lot of time what we say and who we are not the same thing. But whatever God says is consistent with who God is, because the word was God. So the word has history. It's prior to the beginning. And the only thing that precedes the beginning is eternity. The word was in the face of God. And in fact, the Logos was God. So what we are talking about when we talk about the word is the self-revelation of God. The word is the self-revelation of God. Now, the first word in verse 2 says, he. He was in the beginning with God. So whatever the word is, it's not an impersonal force, it's a he. So the word of God is a person, not merely a communication. The word of God is not the logos of the Greeks, an impersonal force. The word of God is a person because it's a he. So when you talk about God's communication, you're talking about a person, not just a concept, a thought, a precept, or an idea. You're talking about a reality of life. So the word of God was pre-existent, it was coexistent, and it was self-existent, because God is self-contained, and therefore he is self-existent, depending on nothing outside of himself. So let's go to the next point. Now that we've established the meaning of the word word, he says, all things came into being through him, Verse 3, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. The Word, whoever the Word is, because the Word is a who, is responsible for creation. So let's get this straight. Whoever the Word is responsible for creation, because nothing came into being that did not come into being through the Word. So this Word is a powerful Word, because by the Word, creation exists. At this point, evolution has been canceled out, because evolution is dependent upon impersonal forces at work. Not a person, but forces. Creation is tied to a he, not a it. Creation is tied to a person, not some scientific principle. Nothing has come into being that was not brought into being by the Word that was in the beginning with God, that was God, that's a he. So when your children or you, whether in now elementary school or junior high or college, are taught the evolutionary theory as an evolutionary fact, they're being handed false religion, because they're being called to a belief system of an impersonal force that is responsible for all creation. It is not only unbiblical, it is illogical.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to challenge one of the key concepts of that belief system. First, though, Tony just released a book that makes a perfect follow-up for what he's been teaching us recently. It's called The Power of Jesus' Names, a journey through what the Lord's various titles tell us about his nature and character. This life-giving book will give you a generous dose of direction when you're lost and deliverance when you're stuck, not to mention forgiveness and grace that'll literally turn death into life. Request it today, and it's yours as our thank you gift when you make any contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. We'll leave the amount up to you. If you do that right away, we'll add a whole collection of special bonuses. The interactive study guide that'll help you, your Sunday school class, or your small group drill down into the deep meaning of Jesus' names. Plus a companion DVD with custom content for each lesson that Tony recorded on location in Israel. You'll also get all 11 full-length CDs in Tony's current series, Encountering Jesus' Names. Visit us before time runs out at tonyevans.org, where you can get the details and make your request online. Or call 1-800-800-3222. Members of our resource team are there 24/7 to help you in person. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's message after this.
Whether you're facing a decision or a dilemma, it's smart to ask, what would Jesus do? But first you have to know what Jesus did and what God has to say about the situations you face. Well, if building your biblical foundation is your goal, the help you need is as close as your computer or mobile device, thanks to the Tony Evans Training Center. It's packed with online courses covering core concepts of the faith and in-depth scripture studies you can work through any time you want, at any pace you want. Along the way, you'll explore key teachings and learn how to apply them in real-world situations. There's lots of exclusive content from Tony to keep you interested and motivated, and an online forum where you can ask questions, get answers, and collaborate with other students. It's almost like having a seminary on your smartphone. Visit TonyEvans.org today and connect with the Tony Evans Training Center, where you can explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
One of the dominant concepts of evolution today is the Big Bang Theory. So let's look at that one, since that's a dominant one, a Big Bang Theory. Here is the theory. The theory is that there was a compression of matter, and the matter compressed with so much force that it exploded. And when the matter, this ball of matter, exploded because the pressure became too great, the universe spun out of it. Over thousands and millions and billions of years, this ever-expanding universe came from the explosion of concentrated matter. So I just have one question. Have you, well, I got a couple questions. Number one question I want to ask you is, have you ever seen a bomb go off and things got better and order come out of the explosion? Have you ever seen something just lose control of itself and it be orderly and not chaotic? In other words, when stuff explodes, stuff gets worse. Stuff doesn't get better. But in order to get rid of God, and in order to get rid of accountability to a personal God, they've come up with a new definition of explosion. Then they got to answer this other question. Where did the first ball come from that got so concentrated that it blew up to begin with? All right? So that takes us back to first cause. What's the first cause? Of course, they will tell you, well, we don't know what the first cause is. Well, I know you don't. Because you have an impersonal first cause that you can't validate, creating an explosion. They must conclude that nothing connected with nothing produced the order of the universe. So I would challenge anybody to go home and empty your garage of everything. Just take everything out of your garage so it's an empty space and wait as many years as necessary for a Rolls Royce to drive up in there. You can wait forever, but you're not going to get something orderly coming into empty space. But evolution would have you believe that that is how the world expanded over myriads of years. Now, you have to understand why they want you to believe that. They want you to believe that because then you're not accountable to a creator. So it's bigger than how the world got started. It's I don't want to have to answer to somebody who will control me and override my decisions. I want to be my own God, so I need an impersonal force to explain creation. So much of the chaos you're seeing in society today is due to a system of evolutionary thought that removes God so that man can be independent. And it's showing up in crime. It's showing up in personal conflict. It's showing up in abortion because there is no God. You get to define life. You get to define your own body. You get to define because you have no God and evolution is impersonal, then you get to make your own decisions. You get to know your own truth. You get to run things the way you want to run them because there's nobody to whom you must be ultimately accountable. But in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was responsible for creation. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 puts it this way. In the last days he has spoken to us through his Son. Because we're talking about the Word. Whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So God made the world through his Son. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. I want to read these so that you can know it. You can read it to your children. You can help them to understand why this is so critical. Verse 16 says, by him, by Christ, all things were created. Both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. The Word is responsible for creation. And he did not only make it through him, he made it for him. When you read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, God created in the beginning the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then it says, and God said, let there be light. So the Word is critical if you want to hear God say something. Because he is the communication mechanism of God. Now, some evolutionists would say, well, you Christians have the same problem because you can't prove first cause either. You start with God. Okay, so let me help you out. Let me help you out with that. Because verse 4 says, in him, Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. Ah, we just introduced something. You see, the problem with atheistic evolution is that you have an impersonal force creating life. You have something not alive turning something into something that is alive. The difference with the creationist view, which is also by faith, is we have life producing life. We have someone who is alive making other things alive. We have a living God producing living trees and living birds and living animals and living fruit and living vegetables. And he creates living because he is alive. You have something that's not living creating life. This word is not only a creative word, but it is a life-giving word. It animates, it brings to life things into existence. And so that's why the Bible wants you to know that this word is powerful because it creates, it's alive. Now, please don't misread this. He says in verse 4, in him was life. Now, that's different than saying he's alive. It's saying the very definition of life is in him. You cannot define life without defining it by virtue of Christ. You cannot define animation coming into reality without Jesus Christ, which means you can never fully live life like it was meant to be lived without Christ. In him was life, and watch this, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and life gave light. Let me reverse it. If there is no life, there will be no light. Because people reject the light, they live in darkness. That's why he says what he says in verse 4, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness does not comprehend it. Because when Jesus Christ is rejected, you walk in darkness, the world walks in darkness, because it's rejected, the only thing that gives life, and the one that gives life also gives light. So if you don't see straight, it's because his life is not lighting you up. He says, I want to light you up, but I can only light you up with my life. That's why wherever Jesus went during his time on earth, he was giving people life. He was healing them. They could see now. They could walk. He was trying to say, I bring life with me. But if you reject me, you will now have to make your way in the dark. You know something about light? It always overcomes darkness. No matter how dark it is, you put on a candle or put on a flashlight, everything changes. Jesus says, if I get in the middle, everything will change because I am the light and I bring with me life. Many people today, even Christians, are functioning in spiritual darkness because they won't let Jesus be the light.
If you're ready to let Jesus light up your life in ways you never even imagined, the first step is to realize there's no way you can be good enough to make it to heaven on your own, and that his sacrifice on the cross is the only way to bridge the gap between human failure and divine forgiveness. If you've never made that connection, visit TonyEvans.org today. Click on the menu at the top and follow the link that says Jesus. There, Tony will explain everything you need to know about what it means to be a real Christian and how to start a brand new life. That's TonyEvans.org, where you can get the latest on Tony's ministry and resources, sign up for his free email devotional, and follow along with him as we read through the Bible together on social media this year. This week, we're focusing on Acts chapter 2. Also, while you're there, don't forget to take advantage of our current quadruple offer. Tony's new book, The Power of Jesus' Names, complete with the companion study guide and resource DVD, plus his current 11-CD teaching series, Encountering Jesus' Names. As I mentioned, they're all yours with our thanks for any donation you make to keep this listener-supported program coming your way. Again, visit TonyEvans.org before time runs out to make the arrangements, or call our resource center at 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will come back with more on Jesus as the Word, including a closer look at the significance of the Word dwelling among us. I hope you'll be back for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.